Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons. I'm the founder of Unlock the Magic Coaching, Marketing, and Energy Healing. I'm joined today with Lorianne, or L.A. Glassford. After 3 decades in corporate executive positions in fashion, hospitality, telecommunications, and with a multi-billion-dollar global real estate development company, L.A. founded the Glassford Group, otherwise known as TGG, a leadership advisory, a coach, a speaker, and a passionate advocate for women. LA believes strongly that prioritizing our well-being and reconnecting to self is some of the most important work she's ever done. And in 2022, at 59 years old, after thinking there had to be other women experiencing some of the same things, LA launched Unlocking Her, a women's well-being luxury retreat that she personally curates and hosts in Costa Rica each year. The next one is in February 2025, y'all. And there's only 2 spots left. So LA lives with her husband and Patrick in Northern Ontario, Canada. LA, welcome.
Oh, wow. Thank you for having me here. I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm a fan of yours. I have been for some time, so it's nice to be here.
Thank you. And likewise, first of all, we have so many synchronicities. Unlock the magic, unlocking her. I love that you live in Canada. I might have to move in. Let's see how next week goes.
Anytime.
I'm eerily calm heading into the elections because on a soul plane, I already know it's unfolded exactly as it should for the overall upgrade of humanity and the collective, whichever way that is. And that's hard because I know what that means for 3D, Amy. So I'm making space for it all.
Yeah, I'm so glad you led with that because the more we can lean in to that knowing, I mean, that takes off a lot of stress and allows us to be heart focused. And I'm not saying there's not a lot of shit to do out there. I'm not saying there's not a lot of tasks and responsibilities to do, but that has to be the foundation of where we approach it from.
Yeah. And I was telling my husband, I have so many women in my orbit right now that are leading so many groundings and meditations heading up to Tuesday. And I'm like, that's beautiful. And I trust and know, and to your point, I love that you said this, more than one thing can be true at once, which is I know that it's all divinely for us. And here's what I think the hard part is that when someone is so egregious in their human form, we're like, wow, that can't possibly be for us. But it is.
There's
some of the biggest movers and shakers, their whole role on this plane is to be egregious and to awaken masses. And so it can piss us off. And also we can understand why. And it's not justifying the way they harm anyone. It's just that that's part of their job here. I don't know.
It's why the work that we both do in order to have women reconnect themselves so they can actually have that knowing. It's powerful.
Yes.
It's so
powerful. Oh, I love you. Okay. So something's really chapped my cheeks this week.
I'm stealing that.
my cheeks are chapped.
Deep breath.
Yeah. So well-intentioned men who find humor in a joke around women being less than in any way, shape, or form. And especially in this time and place where our sheer right to exist is actually up for question. Well-intentioned men that find that funny, I get a little spicy with. I'm not suggesting they can't have a sense of humor and that they have to follow only what I think is funny. I'm saying that rather than using your privilege to find that funny and not have to feel the depths of pain that seemingly innocuous joke is for you, to actually be like, oh, you know what? No, thank you on that. And I guess my bigger question to you is where is the line these days? Because I like to think of myself for having a sense of humor, but my sense of humor is around jokes or content that don't make anyone else less than, or
they're not based on disrespect or devaluing.
No. And so I'm finding it challenging with men, some men very close to me in my life, that they feel like they can't necessarily laugh at a joke around me because I'm going to say something, but I'm not going to come after you. I'm going to say into the universe, oh, that's not funny.
Right.
So they start to feel like they're like a little bit eggshelly with me. So is are we at an impasse here? I don't think it's funny, but also wouldn't it be cool if you used your privilege to be like, oh, that's also not cool. But then that's me putting my agenda on them. So I just want your thoughts. I'm like, Ellie's gonna get this.
There's a lot of things that are coming up for me here, but I want you said something that just clicked, which was they feel like now they have to walk on eggshells around me. And I think that's a really good point, because what that does is it just perpetuates that whole separation between us. Well, I can't talk about this, so let's not invite them to the tournament. We can't really be ourselves, so let's not invite them to the conference. We can't do this, so let's not include them in blank. And that, for me, absolutely, we've come a long way. However, my biggest kind of bone to pick is with the men and the women in the room that
Yes.
stay silent. You just said they know that if they're going to say this to me, that I'm going to put something back out there. I'm not going to stay quiet. And if it's safe for us to do so, it is for you, it is for me, we can say that. But in my 20s, I'm 61. In my 20s, 30s, 40s, and not until my late 50s did I feel safe, either physically, emotionally, or job security wise, to stick up my hand and go, that's inappropriate. Or like, what the F? Like, I couldn't. And yet, if someone were to describe me in any of those roles, executive roles, I was the big energetic one in the room, the one where people said, I don't know how you do that. I could never say that. But guess what? I couldn't say that. And so there were times where I would hear the men in the room or at the restaurant say, well, we can say this in front of you, LA. I mean, you get it. You're one of us. And my blood would boil and I would, chuckle because I felt unsafe. And I was one of the women that didn't say anything until I did. And there's the line, because we need to feel safe in order to be part of that conversation. And so for me, my focus right now is on the people that are being silent. If they're uncomfortable, they don't like what just got said at the meeting, in the elevator, in the car, at the dinner table. They don't like it either, but they don't feel safe to speak up. And that is then coming in. It's affecting their nervous system. It's affecting how they're showing up. And layers and layers and layers of this, it really dulls our voice. And so that's why I think the focus needs to be on the silence, because it breeds complacency. That's the issue right there.
I completely agree to your point, men and women. The people, the humans around me that used to feel safe because I would maybe just chuckle it off. And I haven't done that now for probably almost 5 years. So I've done a lot of like housekeeping around me as it relates to what energy I let in. The thing about it is because some of these people still really close to me, no, I'm going to say something. They're like, oh, I can't laugh at that because Amy's going to say something. So
I'd
then it
like to get
becomes.
to the point where they don't say something because inside it feels icky, right? How do we get people? How do we have that conversation with those people who you see physically want to laugh, but aren't laughing because you're in the room? How do we have the conversation with those individuals without, and again, it's not my response. Listen, I'm responsible for the words I say and how I show up. I am not responsible how you effing receive it. I'm not, right? But
You're absolutely right.
if I'm responsible for me and my goal is to have those that feel as comfortable as me to speak up, but they don't feel safe because, they're in the guys group or they're up for a promotion or these are all the new VPs and I can't be that guy. But if you're not that guy, it doesn't move. And so how do we have that conversation? That to me is the question.
Because I want every human to feel safe with me always. And what's interesting about that is that as a healer and a warrior, depending on what's happening around me, also my cycle, and I'm heading into my luteal phase, so I have like very little patience. My warrior is at the forefront. For instance, when there's like a seemingly innocuous joke on SNL, And there actually was one recently. And the host was like, oh, that was maybe a line too far, because it was Trump's trying to take a softer stance on abortion. And they showed up a visual of a cotton padded hanger. I was like, yeah, see, that's like way too.
That's many lines crossed.
I can't with that. And so someone, probably many people, thought that was humorous. And so it's interesting, because I'm finding a lot of people that are like, I know it's not appropriate, but I can find the humor in it. I'm like, I don't understand that.
Yeah. So two things. For me, it's almost, and you just nailed it with that reference, it's the micro inappropriate things. It's not the big ones, because everybody gets it. Like, if you're a decent human moral person, you're like, that's effed up. That's just rude. But it's the little tiny ones, right? It's just the little ones that, not just those that are accepted, and they're layered and layered over time. That's a problem. And so I've had many men in my life, in professional lives, who, you know, I'm at a boardroom meeting and there's, you know, I'm the only woman in the room, and there's, say, 15 men in the room. And I have had men go, well, just a second, so-and-so. I think LA was, I don't think she was finished her thought. And I said, thanks, so-and-so. I wasn't. And I went on. But you could see in that moment, all the rest of the guys go, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, really? We have to do this?
Exactly. That mentality of, for fuck's sake, those are the people I'm starting to like realize around me. They're like, for fuck's sake, I can't say anything around Amy. I'm like, is that true? Or is it that you feel so uncomfortable because I'm going to say something, because you know it's actually not cool? So it's back to what you said. It's like, that's yours. The way that you react for me sharing that on a worldview, or as a womanist, advocating for all women, humanity, that's not okay.
And it's not a thing.
Feel called out. Is,
well, exactly. And that's the uncomfortable part.
Yeah.
They don't want to, they know you're right. Okay. They know that fundamentally it's probably rude. It's probably inappropriate, but also it's so little and so not world affecting in their world. They're like, oh, just let it go. Like, really? Okay. I'm not going to engage in this. If it was really big, I would engage in it. But like this little thing, that's not a big deal. And that's what happened. It's the layering that's happened. And then it becomes just acceptable. That's what happens.
And so to your point, we've been in all those rooms. We've been in those corporate executive positions. And I know that for me specifically, within me, I've created the balance between my divine feminine and my divine masculine. And when I stand firm in my divine feminine goddess energy, I have space and grace for all humanity.
And there's the result of all the work that you've done on yourself. You know, for those that are like, oh, but it, you know, when you're talking about mindset and you're talking about putting yourself first and filling your cup and self-care, and, you know, those are just buzzwords. They're not a buzzword. And the other side of that work, that, you know, the work never stops, but on the other side of that work is the perspective you're talking about. And it allows us in the moment to know how to regulate our nervous system, so that when we react, it's not like, the fuck are you saying? Well, it's like, you actually are able to articulate yourself. You're able to, in the moment, get the wire, your brain, all the syntax, they all connect and they go, that's not right. It's not cool. I don't understand why they said that. I need to say something, rather than just react emotionally, which was me for 45, 50 years.
Me for 40 years. Like, if you said something wild to me, I used to go in on you like a rabid,
right.
You know, and now it's like, oh, interesting. Help me understand why that's funny. I don't get it. Oh, I don't vibe with that. I don't go in on you, because then it becomes mine to heal. So I'll share back, I don't subscribe to that, or no, thank you, or I'll remove my energy. To your point, like, we're so aware when we feel that threshold. Mm-hmm. It's been crossed for our own self.
Fundamentally, this issue that we're having, where there's all this kind of unacceptable behavior, but we don't feel safe and so on, it all comes back to the fear that there is out there of powerful women. There just is. Women that speak their voice are too powerful. And it's interesting to me at 61 that as we age and we get into our 50s, it happened to me when it was my 40s, but you know, we get to that age where we're and I'm finally in my third act at 61, where we're our most confident. We have the most wisdom and lived experience we ever have. And that in itself is very frightening to many people, right?
I mean, I chuckle because like, and Gen Z came out like that.
Yes.
I'm an elder millennial and I woke up at 40 to be like, and then Gen Z is like, absolutely not. And so there's this tipping point or fever pitch happening with.
Yeah. There's definitely a tipping point. And for me, it's at that point, most women in a corporate atmosphere, let me say that, start to climb the ladder quite quickly. Because it's either post kids or post menopause, they're in menopause, or they're finding all this confidence, they're reconnecting to self, they're learning to go, yeah, I don't care about that. This is wrong. I'm going to say something about it. And just as this power and confidence comes, our vessels start to betray us. And so the two combined, you've got a powerful woman who starts to look much different, much different. And so those two issues right there, that is the underlying frustration. We can't do anything about it. We have all this wisdom, all this lived experience. We know what's appropriate. We want to make the world better. We want to heal the collective. And our bodies outside are just, they're betraying us. You know, I did a post a couple of years ago and it blew up and it was a picture of me in my 30s with my, you know, I'm white haired now, but in my dark hair. And I was a VP at the time, and I think I was 37, 38, and a picture of me today or that year, whatever it was. And I said, which one are you going to hire? Because at the end of the day, this one in the brunette, she hasn't got half the experience, lived experience, impacted bottom lines, done all of this that this woman has. But God forbid that you hire a midlife woman because of the vessel. It's a problem.
We've been seeing this for so many years, the great resignation happening over pandemic, and it's still happening where these incredible women, and here's the thing, LA, you get this more than anyone I know. It's not that we're saying men don't count, but that's all people hear though. Sometimes when we say these things, like so many amazing women are leaving the workforce, we're not suggesting that men aren't too. We're saying that because the workplace was never designed with them in mind. And so they're exiting when they're coming back home to themselves in search of peace and being able to live on her terms and earn a living. And it's not it in the mainstream workforce.
You're right. And then the office or the corporate environment, it no longer fits who we are. Mm-hmm. It no longer fits. And to your point, it was never designed. I mean, we can go back to who set the temperature for offices back in the early 70s. And the temperature that was set for architects and everyone else for their HVAC systems to set, you can even say, I mean, they were never actually physically built, whether it's temperature or you look now and there's foosball machines and there's like TVs everywhere with sports on them, but there's no women's sports on those TVs.
I'm like, can I get like a really cold room with a hot water bottle and like a comfy chair? And I love what you just said, tracing it back to the 70s. I go back even further. The whole 9 to 5 in US was based on Henry Ford and the car manufacturing business model. So it's the unlearning. And I think LA, what I'm starting to see is like women are leaving in such droves. It's going to be like, oh, where'd all the women go? Oh, we're all still out here doing our thing. But without.
Is it interesting that some of the corporations are then rehiring these women as consultants, at which they're paying them more?
That's like a classic patriarchy. It's like, oh, let us go find the women to fix this or the people to fix this. And it's like,
it is. You know, it's not hating on men, but that narrative gives a lot of men permission not to engage. It's not a truth. But if I knew that everyone was, if they believe that there's no path to a conversation because all I do or all we do or all you do is bash men, that gives them a reason not to engage. And it's just not truthful. It's just not truthful, but it gives permission to not explore.
The actual truth is that those men, women, humans that are saying that all we're doing is bashing men, they actually don't feel safe in anything other than the patriarchy or white supremacy or colonialism or capitalism. At some point, they're just going to be looking at each other in the workplace or otherwise. And it's, again, it's the tipping point. It's the fever pitch. It's the upgrade of humanity. It's like, it's all happening.
It is happening.
By subtle shifts. And it just gets pinchy depending on where everybody's at. So the post that you made, and you know, a guy came into the comments and I'm like, I started off like, listen, I'm trying to really respond to you with grace, but I don't enjoy the energy you're coming at me with. And I went to like bullet point my list of items for him, and he never responded. So I like to think that he was like, oh.
We have to be hopeful, right? That when you are respectful in your response and calling out, you know, 20 years, you wouldn't have been that nice and said, you know, your energy is not aligned. But the fact that you're on the other side and you're able to have that respectful conversation and then share some insight is, we have to be hopeful that the reason that they're silent isn't because they felt shamed, but that they actually went, oh, shit, I never thought about it that way.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I wrote about my workplace trauma experience recently, and I said, when someone brings something to you and you respond with, it is what it is, that can be triggering. Be mindful of that. And somebody was like, oh my gosh, I say that all the time. I didn't realize that can be triggering. Yeah, because it feels like tough noogies. You're just going to have to endure that.
Yeah.
I do this all day with you. What moves are you excited to be making right now? What's happening in TGG and otherwise?
You know, there's a couple really big things happening actually in the last 10 days. So, you know, I can share one. Actually, I did a post the other day based on a conversation I had with a woman about menopause and the lack of information and everything else that's going on there. And I host retreats. The Glassford Group, through our other company called Unlocking Her, you know, we focus on providing safe spaces for conversation. And we provide the modalities to experience the reconnection to ourselves. And so what I'm working on right now is connecting our gift at being able to deliver those experiences and providing the safe space for conversation with menopause, and combining that into a midlife's women retreat. I'm looking in London and the south of France. I'm in conversations with two individuals right now on this. And for me, the experts that have come out of the field, when I said, hey, help. I'm not an expert, but I have lived experience. But can anybody help me? You know, I'll take after the retreat end. And the people that came out were incredible. And I've connected with Emma Thomas in the UK. And she's phenomenal. And so it came from a conversation with a woman that said, you know, could we talk about this at your next retreat? And all I kept thinking was, that's a whole nother multi-day. So when you say, what are the moves? That's the big one for me. I'm finding that I am leaning in. People can call them downloads, thoughts, ideas. But when something excites me and I can't stop thinking about it for an entire day, I know I have to lean in. And so some people may say, you're putting the cart before the horse and you need to probably figure out everything first. But I actually think the opposite. And when I posted about this and asked it for help and said, I got an idea, I actually had a woman, you know, DM me and say, do you really think you should have put it out there? Because maybe like you might have a lot of women try to copy you. And I went, awesome. Like, first of all, no one's me. So no one delivers what I deliver. And can we get more people talking about menopause? Go for it. I would like to see retreats every weekend in every country about menopause. But that's that whole like, you've just shared. Didn't you share too much? No, no. If it can inspire someone else to do the same thing, then fantastic.
Oh, I see. That's the vibe. That's you standing in your divine feminine goddess. No one can do what you do, how you do it. And welcome everyone who do more of it in their own unique brilliance.
Teach me. Teach me what I don't know.
I love what you said about the download. There's something that's been entering my consciousness. And as we know, the moment it comes into your consciousness, it wouldn't come in if it already hasn't happened on another plane or in the future. So there's
stay with us, everybody. She's absolutely right.
So many women I serve, they're like, I don't know why I'm thinking about this or why I'm feeling into this. I'm like, trust it. It's not a coincidence. Let's air it. Let's bring it to life. I will be hosting a women's getaway in the French Polynesia. We're going to dance in the rain. We're going to do yoni steams. We're going to build sandcastles. I'm just feeling called. It's like a divine feminine getaway, to get into a primal, like women around a campfire, that keeps dropping in. I was like, okay. And those are the really beautiful ways where, to your point, I love the work that you do. It's getting back into our physical bodies, but also whether or not, especially when you reach the different ages, if you've had a hysterectomy, that doesn't mean you don't have a sacral womb space. There's so much energy to still feel into in that next chapter.
There really is. And you just said something that I thought, this is a story I should just share. It's a very quick one, which is I was about 57. So what, 4 years ago? And I went for a routine physical. And part of that physical was to have a vaginal ultrasound. And I had one. And here's where I think healthcare comes into it as well. And I don't want to go down a rabbit hole. But when this woman, this technician, said the following thing to me, it knocked me to my knees and it took me weeks to recover. So when she was there, I said, you know, can you see my ovaries? Knowing I had stopped bleeding at 41. And she said, oh, honey, your ovaries are the size of raisins right now. They're not seeing any light. And I, having birthed my child, and I have two children, and I just at that moment had felt like that wand that was inside of me was just like, get it out. Like, just, I felt invaded. I felt devalued. And yet, you know, she was describing exactly what they looked like. They were the size of raisins. I get it. But to share that with me in that moment, we have to be aware. We have to be aware of how much we are connected to our womb and to our womanhood. It is a sacred space. And so it came up to me when you were talking about womb and everything. And I thought, you know, if just one practitioner hears that and thinks, ooh, if I'm ever asked that, I got to be careful, then that's why I said it. But that's what came up for me when you were talking about womb, was that traumatic experience.
And to your point, like they were physically describing. So it's like what you and I are talking about is like going beyond the physical anatomy and the organs. It's the energetic space. So what she could have responded with, like, yeah, I can see her ovaries. What a beautiful space in the space and time.
Hey, look at the journey that they've taken you on. Absolutely.
There's so much wisdom. I want to go to a post that you made recently, and it really hit home. You posted, so I too grew up in the I'll give you something to cry about house. The last time I was tossed over a pair of knees to be taught a lesson was after I lied about brushing my teeth. I was 8 or 9. I remember the approach, color of carpet, and the shame. This influential drivel has to be called out. I may not have a vote in the U.S. election, but I will not stand silent. And it's a repost from Kelly Lee Steicher as well. So yeah. I'm sorry that happened. There's two things that beautifully before, I mean, I read this post before we got on today that I was like, I want to talk about this, but also I will not stand silent. Oh, share as much or as little as you'd like about this.
Well, I would just say that when I saw the video by Tucker Carlson and it talked about the whole daddy thing and it talked about, I'm going to give you a spanking. It immediately triggered me and surely millions of other people around the world, because at my age, that is just what happened growing up. So when I lied about brushing my teeth, and I don't know why I didn't want to brush my teeth, and I was 9, I don't know. And I came downstairs and of course I said I had brushed my teeth. And of course somebody, mother or father, I don't know, went upstairs and my toothbrush was dry because I hadn't thought it all the way through. And I was caught. And I remember, you know, having to go up the stairs and go into the room and bend over the knees. And so when he said all of that came up. And the reason I shared that personal story, which, by the way, I hadn't recalled for decades until he spoke. And so I felt an obligation. I felt a pull. I felt a need to express myself as an example of how this could trigger and how not just inappropriate, but painful, damaging, all of that it was. And so that's why I shared the post, which was a repost of hers as well, because there's certain points where You know, I post for business, but sometimes I post because I have to. And it's not about the engagement, the likes. It's because, oh, for God's, I have to. My voice, my throat chakra is quite open and I have a need to respond.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that because it helped me. I mean, I think I'll be healing the rest of my life for especially the first 20 years of my life that was just consumed with physical, emotional, and psychological abuse. That was the norm for me. And so
your body was always engaged and on high alert.
My body was always in survival and dysregulated. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
So that became like a very hypervigilant, like my husband, who loves me more than this world, when there's a heightened tone in his voice, I feel it. My body shifts. Like I'm about to get in trouble, you know? Yes. So I have a business. I heal and guide others. And I have so many people that come to me. They're like, I would have never known you grew up in a domestic violence home. Like, I wouldn't have known that. And I'm like, well, it's part of my truth. And I still have a relationship with my parents through the years. But the more, to your point, all the rhetoric, all the narrative, especially heading into next week, as the divine feminine rises, the toxic masculine will get louder. And that can bring a lot of triggering responses or triggering experiences. They have such a responsibility, they meaning the ones that are saying these things on such huge platforms, and they're not taking the responsibility that they don't realize it, or they don't want to realize it.
No, they don't. And, you know, it's like any ism. It is like any ism. Until you experience it yourself, you are unable to see how much pain that could have caused. I look back on my 20s, 30s, 40s as I climbed leadership and, you know, manager, director, vice, whatever it is. And I think, oh God, I wish I could just sit down with that team and apologize for that meeting I had that day or this year. But the thing is, you grow and you take the learnings and you try to put them forward. You grow through it. And when there are fears, like what's happening in the election right now, Tucker, all of them are going to pull all the triggers because it's like grasping at that last piece of rope that's not really hooked onto the top of the mountain. Anything that will trigger is going to be done. And so the way that we are currently responding is it's frustrating to those who are doing the triggering. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm quite hopeful about what's going to happen. I'm sitting in Canada, and yet I've always felt a part of the US in me, whether it was because I worked for a US company, I lived there for some time, but I feel closely connected. And also on the political field, I mean, you know, what happens in the US informs quite a bit in the rest of the world. And so I can't vote, but I've used my voice in this and I will continue to, and I'm quite hopeful about what's going to happen on Tuesday.
Oh, thank you. Again, I'm eerily calm, but deep breaths.
Yeah, it is deep breaths.
LA, as we start to wind down, what would you say to the women that you and I, prior to our healing and our work,
mm-hmm.
the women who listen to this and they're like, ooh, is that me? Like, they're starting to get maybe some glimmers, some hints, some threads that are pulling, but they're like, and I'll take myself back a little over 5 years ago. It's like, I couldn't possibly think about life or imagine life differently than like climbing the corporate ladder, getting titles, money, things like that. But there was something nagging at me, of course, which was my inner asking me to come home. What would you say to those women that are listening to us? They're like, yeah, I get it, but I can't just do that.
Okay. So I'm going to say a couple things. So the first thing is, as women, is to recognize that the women who are sharing this with you only want to support you. That's the first thing. There is no, I don't think I know better than anyone else. I also don't have time for women who don't want to help women and get into great positions and then don't actually reach back and change systemic processes and so on to help women. So that's another podcast. But I often say, I needed me 5, 10, 15, 20, all those years. I needed the LA today back then. But if I would have told back then, I would have went, okay, whatever, old lady, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, you're not getting it. So at the end of the day, I have done a lot of work on trying to focus my work in retreats and coaching and everything on multi-generational experiences, because I believe that is the answer to healing the women and the collective female and male. You get women in their 30s sitting down with women in their 60s at my retreat, and they're all of a sudden look at each other and go, you're talking to me? Oh my God. The older woman looking at the younger woman going, you've just taught me so much, and vice versa, and realizing we are all the same. To me, I would say to women going, oh, I don't know if I'm ready, I would say a couple things. I was asked a question at 58 that I could not answer. And the reason I am sitting here today, having hosted almost 100 women through my retreats and coaching and having my own businesses, is this. The question I could not answer was, who am I when I am not being who others expect me to be? I was asked that question, and I could not answer who I was when I was not being who others expected me to be. I started answering like, well, I'm a mother, and I'm a VP, or I'm a this, or I'm a property owner, I'm a wife, I'm an aunt. Okay, but who are you? I couldn't answer that. And so if you can answer that question, hey, I want to talk to you. I couldn't. I spent the last 4 years peeling off layers of masks and armors that I had covered myself up because I didn't know who I was anymore. I wanted to be reconnected to LA, like the essence of who I was. But because I couldn't answer that, I was quite embarrassed, to be frank. I was really embarrassed. I got emotional. I started to cry. I'm like, I don't know what I am. And then that same person asked me the last time I felt joy. And I went into sobbing because I said, I don't even know what joy is, because I associated the word joy with being happy. So I'm like, well, I'm happy when I'm doing, when I'm getting, when I'm eating. I had no connection to joy. So if you are a woman that is saying things like to themselves, like, is this all there is? Like, is this it? Or why am I feeling this way? Or why does that all of a sudden bother me? Or why do they keep expecting me to do that? I'm done. If any of those things resonate with you, I think you should connect with both you and I. Because honestly, you're not alone, is what I would say. You are not alone. The majority of women are feeling this way. And whether I've had 40 years of executive experience in corporate, my approach is conversational. It's based on a conversation, creating experience, using my energy to prioritize the inner connection that a woman can have. Whether you want to call it, she connects to her intuition or her purpose or her whatever. I call it the why. I didn't know my why. In my 20s, I knew my why. I thought I did. In my 30s, I was like, my why was to have a kid. In my 40s, through a divorce, it was to climb that ladder, get that money, get that house, drive that car, fly first class, whatever it is. And for me, once you establish your why, your life will change because you can't unknow it. And then everything you do that doesn't align with your why is like alarm bells.
And right? It just immediately falls away.
It does.
That which doesn't align, and nothing has to be dramatic. It just beautifully falls away.
Yes.
And your passion, your calling toward making sure women understand, those women and those with uteruses understand their worth before, during, after menopause. What would you say to the folks in the workplace that say menopause doesn't have a place in the workplace?
Well, it exists already. That is like me saying there's no blood running through the humans that are working in your office. I mean, it's a cellular transformation. And so, you know, you can compare it to all sorts of things. You can compare it to a mental illness and mental disability that you cannot see, a chronic pain issue that you cannot see. You have to know that it is scientifically proven that all women and those with uteruses will go through this. It is a closing down of our reproductive systems. And it is. So it's time to close shop. And it is, imagine if all of a sudden we said in every human being, the liver and the spleen are now going to disappear and they're no longer going to function. Imagine the cellular transformations and the things that would happen to our lives as a result. Is it not interesting that most of the women that are at the executive level are in their late 30s, 40s, 50s? They're all sitting there. You can't see it, but they are all experiencing cellular transformation and having to deal with things on a daily basis. And, you know, I just purchased the New York Best Time Seller, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, The New Menopause, her book. And, you know, she lists off everything as a doctor that happens to your body. And I think if people would look around the meeting room or around their office and go, holy shit, all these women are currently going through a percentage of these things, there would be empathy and understanding, you would hope. And so in the UK, they actually have an act where businesses are required to have a step-by-step process of how they support those in menopause, and it needs to come over here. I mean, the UK is far, much farther ahead than we are in North America, but it's coming. I mean, if anybody's even curious about it, just head over to go see Emma Thomas, okay? Emma Thomas on LinkedIn. There you go. She's got a podcast, a newsletter. It's incredible. But yeah, I think we just have to talk about it. Yeah. And if you're a woman who has decision-making power in your organization, I don't care what the organization, if you have decision-making power, it is your responsibility to table this and get it into your policy, your proceed, get the conversation going and don't allow it to be shut up. That's what I think should happen.
Ellie, thank you so much for saying that. That might be the headline for this episode because I'm finding so many women, especially from my corporate days, they're still in the camp that don't you dare talk about that at work. That's unprofessional, et cetera. Okay, where can we find you?
I love the LinkedIn community. It's where I've met most of the most fabulous women in my life. Yeah, so you can find me on LinkedIn at Lorianne Glassford. I've got 7 Instagram accounts, but I'll just give you 2. You can go to the Glassford group and you can also go to Unlocking Her. Those are my 2 businesses. They both have websites, but to be frank, I'm actually taking both the websites and, you know, in the new year, I'll be relaunching as one. So honestly, I'm an open book. DM me. DM me on Instagram or LinkedIn and come on, let's have a conversation.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
When everything is important, you aren't. So fix that. Fix that.
Thanks, LA.
Thank you.